כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
Sponsored by the Torahway, North West London, Wednesday, 3rd of Iyar, 4th of May, 18th day of the Omer, Rav Herschel Hager, Shlita, Chometz, and a school locker. This week's Torahway has been sponsored in Nishmas Hadur, friend Rav Osher Badil, Zafron Lebrocho, Rav Osher Yitzchol, and Rav Chaim Kasriel, Zafron Lebrocho, on his recent first Yard site on 25th of Nisan last Tuesday.
We'll discuss the actual shala I had for a boy finding chumas in the school locker after Pesach and the various shalas which arise from that. I want to discuss, I saw a very interesting, rather horrifying shala I saw this week. The Children's Magazine had the write-up of a Rav called Rav Sinai Adler. I'd never heard of him before. He was Rav in Ashdod. Rav Sinai Adler was Rav in Ashdod in Israel, not so long ago. He went through the war and he wrote a sefer, wrote a few sforim, which I look up later. One of the sforim is a sefer of shalas that he had during the war, all sorts of pikuach nefesh shalas, different situations, and halacha lemaaseh, not lemaaseh, halacha what could or should have been done and what was done. This topic of Shema Chum be Chumot Sha'ovol of a Pesach, but this Shal has to do on Chumot on Pesach. I just found very interesting, so I just want to share it with you. He was in the concentration camps, Lo Aleinu, and every day they used to give them some bread just to keep them alive. And obviously on Pesach, Pikuach Nefesh Dofi Kolot HaYukula, so you get Chumot on Pesach, you have to eat it. No question. The question was, his question happened on Erev Pesach, but the same would really apply to on Pesach itself. He was given bread on Pesach morning, and he writes, obviously, Pikuach Nefesh, we could eat it. But at the moment we were given, at the time they were given the bread, it wasn't a matter of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is when your mom is falling apart and you have to eat just to keep yourself alive. When they get the bread in the morning, they're still going good for another few hours. So, put the bread away for a few hours and eat it only when it turns out to be in a massive mamash pikuach nefesh. That's the halacha l'chayim. He said, someone, one of the talmidim there in the camp, in the concentration camp, told him, who said you're doing right? Maybe you have to eat it straight away. If you have chometz, which you can keep for a few hours, you're overbal, you're overbal imotze. It's in your rishus. So what's better to do in the situation? Eat it straight away. Or put it away for later.
Sorry?
Obviously, it gives you energy for later. Let's say you have to eat 1 to 24 hours. Okay. Well, they couldn't sell it to a goy. But the question was, so he. Right, because given bread, he wants to keep it. He's not giving away. He's not mafkrit. Yeah? He's mafkrit. He's not going to have bread for tomorrow. He's not going to make it till tomorrow. So he's keeping it. He's looking after it properly. He needs it. What does he do? This is Nebuchadnezzar's shalas they went through. Anyway, just it was like a fascinating, I don't know if the word fascinating is the right word, it was an interesting shalas I saw, so I just wanted to. He brings interesting Mishabura. In the last sermon in Chayle Gimel, in Mishabura, in Nachos Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch talks about someone who loses track of Shabbos. He's away in the Midbar, not in the Yishuv, doesn't know when Shabbos is. He lost track. So the halacha is, he has to count from when he loses track, 7 days. The seventh day he rests as if it was Shabbos. But on the other days, or rather all the days, he has nothing to eat. He's got to do something. He's got to keep himself alive. So he's allowed to do melochas, just enough for him to be alive. Even though, obviously, one of the days will be Shabbos, he's allowed to work every single day, kedei chayav. He can't work more than he needs to for today's bread, for today's food, but he's allowed to do the minimum, bare minimum he needs to keep himself alive. Every day of the week. That's what Halacha and Shulchan Aruch says. Ask the Mishabur and the Halacha, wouldn't it be better if one day he does a big job, whatever he can do, get 4 or 5 days worth of food? So statistically, or most probably, he won't be Michal Shabbos. He's got less chance to be Michal Shabbos if he does one job, gets enough for a week, or a few days, then again. And by that, and by probably he won't be Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't have Shabbos anyway. But at least he won't be definitely Mechal Shabbos if he does more than a day's worth, but a meal's worth a day. That's the Mishnah Berurah Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's not true. Because Pikuach Nefesh is Dovah Kalach HaRekula. So the little bit he needs for that day is definitely mutter for him to do. But you can't work more than you need to, because that's not Pikuach Nefesh Dovah Kalach HaRekula. So you'll maybe working that extra hour on Shabbos, Sofak Daraisa, which is not Pikuach Nefesh, so rather do every day what you're allowed to, the bare minimum, rather than stock up and be sofik machal Shabbos when I tell you. So he explains the pshat Shulchan Aruch is rather do every day a little bit, because you're allowed to do it, that's what you're allowed to do, rather than do something which you're not allowed to do, because it might save you the sofik of Chilul Shabbos. And he goes on, the Mishnah goes on, and he talks about the Yiddish soldiers, and Mishnah actually wrote a whole sefer called Nitzchei Yisrael in the First World War. He was traveled over many Yidden, never quite to go to war, and when the Masa Mechoma is not the normal day-to-day, not the matter of Pekuch Nefesh and Shabbos, he wrote a whole sefer for soldiers, what the B'dyevet matter is in their situation, what they should do, and all Chalokim and Torah. But in the B'aluch, he discusses this Indian. He says, someone is a soldier, Mekam Hamem Sholach Horoi Meimot, and obviously, Shabbos, if he has to do work, he's got no choice. But if he can do anything on Friday to avoid him doing any work on Shabbos, then obviously he should do whatever he can on Friday in order to avoid the situation being Mechal Shabbos. Because what happened on Friday, he was very busy. He didn't have time to prepare himself for Shabbos. I mean, prepare the melochas that he might need to do tomorrow and do it earlier. It's Bein HaShmoshes. What does he do now? Should he do now the melocha? It's only Sofik Goyim, Sofik Laila. Now, which is not a matter of Pekuach Nefesh yet. He's not forced at gunpoint to do work for the army. Shabbos afternoon, he has no choice. He'll have to do it. Then, Pekuach Nefesh, it's Mutter. Now, Bein HaShmoshes, it's not Pekuach Nefesh yet. But, it's only a Sofik. Sofik Goyim, Sofik Laila. Is it better to be Mechal Shabbos and Sofik when it's not Pekuach Nefesh yet than being Mechal Shabbos and Vadai under the situation for Pekuach Nefesh? That's exactly, this is what the Rabbi Alder writes. This is similar to Hishali he had in the concentration camp. What do you do? Is it better to do a small Vadai Issa now? Sofik Issa now, which is not under the heta of Pekuach Nefesh, it's not Pekuach Nefesh yet, rather than doing something tomorrow which would be Mutter, but the Vadai Shabbos. So Mishra says, interestingly, he says, it really makes no difference because Shabbos is one day. It must be Mechal Shabbos in the 24-hour period. Doing it the beginning of Shabbos or the end of Shabbos is not enough to minute. If you know the Shabbos, it's mutter to do it, it's mutter to do. So Mishra says it makes no difference when you do it when it comes to that Shabbos. But here in the concentration camps, we never had this interesting Shabbos, is two different types of Yisurim. You've got the Issa of eating Chomet, which again, all the halachas fall away. Pekuach Nefesh Doicha Baliyor, Pekuach Nefesh Doicha Baliyor Balimotza as well. It's clear. There's no Baliyor Balimotza if you have to have it. The question is, do you, by eating now Chomet early when it's not a matter of Pekuach Nefesh yet, do you gain not being over Baliyor Balimotza? You have the Chomet. And the Emes, the Shal is, we could have a Shal today as well, in a different situation, on Shabbos, and you have to be Mechal Shabbos for a Choylem. Do you wait a few hours till you really have to do it? Or if you're going to be Mechal Shabbos anyway, does it make a difference the first minute of Shabbos or the last minute of Shabbos? So Mishra says it doesn't really make a difference which minute of Shabbos you're doing it. But it's not yet really Pekuach Nefesh. You have to operate with someone. You have to go on Shabbos. Does it make a difference the beginning of Shabbos, the end of Shabbos? Even though it's not a matter of Pekuach Nefesh yet, do you have to wait mamash till you see the Shomer to save his life? Or if you know you're going to do it anyway, you can do it before it's a matter of Pekuach Nefesh. So that's the same shal they had there. Do you, if you can eat, you're going to eat the chametz anyway, eat it now and gain the Baal Yor Balimotza. Anyway, you're going to eat it, and you're allowed to eat it. Why do you have to keep it in your pocket and have Bali Bali Mosa. Even though Ba'am Bali Mosa is also Mutter because of Matzkos Nefesh, but again, you could avoid that problem. That's what the Shaala has to be interested in. I just want to share with you. Okay, well, again, you're right. Obviously, he's allowed to eat it. Now, I'll say what you said in today's terms. When somebody's Nebuchadnezzar, Choyle Shesh Veskon, he has to have Chomos on Pesach. He knows he has to have Chomos Pesach. He wants to quiet, whatever he has medicine, whatever it is. He has to have it. So, what the Possum say, don't buy the Chomos, give it to a Goy, and then steal from the Goy. Take it from the Goy's property. That means the Chomos doesn't belong to you. So you have to eat it. Obviously, it's mutter and mitzvah to eat the chometz on Pesach. But you don't have to actually have it as well. No reason. You have to have it. Again, if you have some patent in the concentration camp, wonderful. But they couldn't give it to a goy. Okay. And you're right. But the master was there. They took the bread and they needed it. They had to take it.
I took the bread. But
you take it, you put it in your pocket. Yeah, okay.
If I go to a guy's house, it's his little bread and eat it.
It's not yours till you.
It's his bread I'm eating.
Right. Okay, well, the question is how do you take it from keeping in your pocket and not being muscular, and you want to have it without. That's a kidney, he's taking it. No, anyway.
It was their life.
Right, so. You know, so this is the shadow of the foundry. Yes.
The shadow is what is common, more common?
When it's not pikuach nefesh yet.
What?
That's the shadow.
If you got a choice to
avoid the Achilles must comment
or
Bali Roman,
it's a choice.
Obviously, Achilles is chorus, Bali Roman is a lot. Yeah, but the question is, you're going to eat it anyway. You're going to eat it anyway.
Okay.
The question is, do you have to have it in your pocket or not? Interesting. Okay, let's go back to what the topic of the shiur was supposed to be about. A boy comes to school after Pesach and finds he got backup biscuits in his locker, which he had in school. Now, the shala is, quite a few shalas into this. First of all, let's go back to before Pesach. Does the boy have a chiv b'tikas chometz in his locker in school? Who is responsible to make b'tikas chometz in the locker? School, headmaster, the manal. Dan Holler, the boy.
Governor's
fine. Can a cotton sell his chomet in his locker? And then again, so if he didn't sell it, what's the halach of his chomet? Now, I looked it up. This, I don't want to call it a shahla, but a problem, is a 650-year-old problem, at least. The Maril, who majority of Amun Hogan are based on his Sefer, there are more extensively quotes, Menhoga Maril. Maril was the Rav Moshe Kolb Nagoyle, 650 years ago, and he had the yeshiva, many Talmidim. And his Rabbi, who wrote the Sefer, Menhoga Maril, all the halachas, day to day in Yom Tov, all the Menhogam we have, right, the Maril, when the yeshiva came back, the Shchoy Deshiyah to the Maril and yeshiva, Maril told them as follows. Whoever finds chometz in his dormitory should burn it. Because I didn't check all the Bochum's bedrooms. That's my real right. That's yeshiva. He didn't bother checking all the Bochum's chometz in the room. So he says, Bochum, you come back, you find chometz, burn it. It's chometz, sh'over, all over Pesach. Atkan amaril. So there's no problem of a yeshiva, which is a private public place. People leave their chometz intentionally, unintentionally, or what happened to the chometz? And I said, chometz or Pesach. For some reason, Maril didn't seem it was his responsibility to dig a chometz in the yeshiva dormitory. I don't know what the setup was, but there could be different setups, and there are different setups in every place, in every public yeshiva or school. If it's the Bochum's private, they rent the bedrooms, obviously it's their responsibility. They have to dig a chometz. If the yeshiva gives the rooms, well, again, if the yeshiva can move them around and they come back next month, they find the bedroom is a different bedroom, is it their responsibility? Is it their room? It's not really their room. That means that we're talking about Achiva, not talking about Achiva Bittel Chametz, we're talking about Achiva Bdikas Chametz. Do they have to check a room which is not really there? They're not even there. But before they leave, before you leave Shabbos Man, whenever you leave, you have to dig a Chametz. Or, it's not good for your room when it comes to Chodesh, they're not going to clear everything out. That's definitely not your responsibility. And what happens if there's Chametz left over in your room, which was a responsibility? That's what maybe the Maril had a problem. There was some of the Chametz there. Nobody did Bdikas Chametz. And maybe didn't do Bittel Chametz. So you have, or even if you did, you have Chometz, Sha'ol HaPesach, which you have to burn. The problem is if they do have Rishus to keep their belongings in the bedroom, whose ownership is that bedroom? Who does it belong to? Bochram, Yeshiva. So this is the Sha'ol of Bdikas Chometz. Who has the Bdikas Chometz in that room? The Gemara of Sochem, Dav Dalad, talks about if you mask a bayit l'chaveira, if you rent out a room to somebody, who is responsible for the biggest chumah? So Gomorrah says, well, you have two slogans. Either it's the mask, the person rents out the room, it's his chumah. So he had chumah there, the person walks into a new rented house, does he have the biggest chumah on the chumah which belongs to the original owner? Or does the soicha have the biggest chumah because now it's under his responsibility? The Gemara wants to bring a raya from a mezuzah. A mezuzah is the responsibility of the person who lives in the house, not the person renting it out. The person who's rented, not the person who rented it. But the mask is the sofer. So, hu adin, the chomet is similar to mezuzah, which is the chov of the person who's living there. The Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Mezuzah is chov is hadar. Mezuzah is after the person who lives there. I'm saying this chomet is not so sure who the responsibility is. And then the Gemara talks about Messias and Mafteach, whoever owns the key, who has the key. So if you have the key, there's more chiv on you to do the Bdikas Chometz than someone doesn't have the key. Again, that goes into fine details of the kinyonim of the keys, what it actually means. But if the boy has a key to his locker, you can't expect the Hanhola to do Bdikas Chometz there when they don't have access to it. And if it's the boy's locker, or the bocher's closet in his bedroom, which is locked, he's got the key, even though having real kinyan in it, in the room or is covered, but he has the key, so it's more responsibility the person has the key than anyone else, even though the ownership really doesn't lie. So we have again this grey area. And this is in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, we're going to too much detail about this nekuda. If I leave my home at somebody else's house, in the youth house, I put my chomet in order I want to avoid it's a bali or bali motor. I put it in your house without you knowing. I leave it in your garage. So I'm not over bali or bali motor, the not in my rishos, it's in your rishos. It belongs to me, but it's in my rishos. No, you don't know your motor. Now, if you know about it, I tell you, I'm depositing chomet rishos. We're both over. The masked and the nifka, both are over. Both have some responsibility over this chomet. If they both know about it. If they don't know about it, then, well, you definitely don't. Not over Balei Ramotze. Medaraita, I'm also not over Balei Ramotze. It's not my Rishos. But Rabban, I am. Again, so you have here a situation where you can put Chomet in another Yid Rishos. He doesn't know about it. So not really, Menatoya, not Balei Ramotze. It's not my Rishos. I put it in someone else's Rishos. I put Chomet in my bedroom, in Yeshiva. It's not my Rishos. Rishos is another. So Menatoya, not over Balei Ramotze. But Madrabun you are, and you have to burn after Pesach. This is Maril's problem what he had in the book and came back after. Now, this is before Pesach, about Bdikas Chometz. The Maril didn't do Bdikas Chometz. Nobody did Bdikas Chometz in his yeshiva. Probably today also not. I have to sell it. So again, if you come back after Pesach, you find Chometz, you're stuck because you have Chometz which belong to a Yid. Maybe he doesn't know about the Muslim, but I'll tell you about the morning he was over the Rabbani Muslim, never you have to burn it. Now the question is, Chomet over the Pesach. We just said, if I put Chomet in your house without you knowing, I'm not over the Rabbani Muslim, but the Rabbani I am over, and therefore I'd have to burn it after Pesach. Question is, a Kotan, the Primogodim of the Sufik, whether Chomet, which belongs to a child under the Mitzvah, is also Bano after Pesach. Why is Chomet after Pesach also Bano? He finds Chomet now, which was you didn't see it, you didn't burn it, you didn't sell it. By mistake, it was in a shush. You weren't always in a Torah because you did bittle, every you does bittle comments. So in a Torah, we're safe. But the master, you had chometz, you owned the midrabonim, the midrabonim wanted to burn it or to sell it. You didn't burn it, you sell it, you don't find chometz. With the midrabonim, you have to burn it. Chometz over Pesach, also ba'ano, bein b'shoigig, bein b'oynis. Even though it wasn't your fault, you didn't know, your mom, you were in a situation you didn't, you couldn't know about it. Chachom didn't make any exceptions, you have to burn the chometz, even though it was in your possession, b'oynis. The question after him was, what happens to a cotton? Did Chazal give a knaf to a cotton? The cotton is not. He's not mufuy bari bani mosa. I mean, I tell you, it's no problem. It's not chinuch, you have to be mechanachem. But if it's a yosim, there's no chinuch, or even a child with parents. He has chometz, so he was over bari bani mosa. His father was mechanachem properly, fine. Did Chazal after his chometz as well, or not? He has a sofik. Whether it's shayach with chalti, like knaf to a cotton or not.
So,
how did the cotton get your ownership? Okay, now we'll go into this in a second. Well, I'll go to now. A cotton is, they make a lot of trouble. They can, but not only that, they're a headache because it's a one-way system, a cotton. A cotton can acquire chafetim, but it can't give it away. Now again, I talk about now a cotton who had chomet, found chomet in his locker, didn't sell it. So the primogod of the sofek with a cotton had chomet in Pesach in his rishus. Again, it's not even his rishus properly, as we discussed before. He may not have had to do the chiv of bdikas chometz. Let's say his locker wasn't open, it wasn't locked, he didn't have the key. But okay, so he didn't have to do bdikas chometz because it wasn't really his rishus. Doesn't have to do bdikas chometz anyway. He's not mechoyev mitzvos. But he didn't even have to, even he was mechoyev, it was not properly the rishus. Let's say he didn't do bdikas chometz. Even the shiva bochum, as the Maril said, the shiva bochum didn't do bdikas chometz. And the Maril also didn't think it was his responsibility to do bdikas chometz for the shiva. So bdikas chometz wasn't done. But the master, you find out chometz after Pesach. If it belongs to Yeshiva Bocher, so obviously also Banu, you have to burn it. No two ways about it. But if it belongs to a child, primogodim is a sofek, whether the child can now eat the chometz or not. Did Chazal, did they give a knas to a child who didn't do the chometz? He didn't burn a chometz. He didn't have to burn a chometz. Is it like plug or not? Some primogodim is fine. Can a child take chomer? Can a child can't be mafke? Okay, we're going to turn out now. This is this child started before Pesach. After Pesach, a boy came to you, got chometz in his locker in school. He can't get to it anymore. Okay? But he didn't do the chometz, not going to do the chometz. He wants to sell his chometz. I was thinking, and this is how this, I looked into it. Cotton can't really sell anything. Now, in the Chodesh Mishvot, it says as follows. A cotton cannot do any mekach memke. He can't trade. Not true. He can't give him a tonne. He hasn't got the das to do pinyon. But the chachomim, in order to allow ktanim to have some pocket money, today chayayim, allowed them to trade immetalkalim, immovable goods, not in kakos. Not they can't rent, they can't sell property to Kanem. But Chazal allowed them to do a little bit of questions, a little bit, or they allowed them a lot of Talsalin. Midrabono they're allowed to sell. They're allowed to trade Midrabono. So fantastic. Cotton can now sell me his comments. He's got a pack of biscuits, whatever he has there. He can sell his pack of biscuits, no problem. Midrabono, Midrabono can't. Now the question is, if you can't sell Midrabono, but you can sell Midrabono. Now we have this in the middle of Hilchos Lulav, we know. You can't give, since the first day of Sukkot, first 2 days of Sukkot, the Kachal Mechem, you have to have proper ownership on a Dalad Minim. If you have a cotton that wants to do the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, he's on the Chorban HaTorah, he's on the Chorban HaChinuch. So you want to help him be Mechem with the Dalad Minim, with your Dalad Minim, you make sure first you do the mitzvah and your wife does the mitzvah, and then you give it to the cotton. Why? Because if you give it to the cotton first, cotton can be koiner, he can acquire things, but he can't give it back. Now you're stuck. Cotton can't give it back. We just said the cotton's allowed to trade with metaltalin. None of it's metaltalin. So he could give it back. He could give it back, but we have a problem the way the cotton gives it back is a kinyan medrabonon. The rabbonon allowed them to trade with Dalton. The Torah doesn't allow them to do that. You want to be kind of it to the Torah. The question is, can a kinyan medrabonon help Minat Torah? The 2 days of Shulchan Aruch, but we'll machmel lechatchila. That the cotton, even though he can give it back to you, medrabonon is yours, but medrabonon is not really yours. If it's medrabonon, it's not yours. You want to be kind of kaf lechem, you have a problem. Now we have the same problem here. This chometz is also Minat Torah. The cotton wants to sell me, so the goy. Well, works in a second. He's trying to sell through a kinyan drabonon a chometz, which would be something that I don't want minatoya. It's the same as ulos. How could he sell it? He could sell him drabonon. Technically, he can sell it, but it won't help to overcome the problem of baldero balemot minatoya, which is done on mechuyev anyway. Oh, well, the question is a kinyan drabonon does help for the rice? But here,
it should help to overcome the knas midrabonon.
True, because he's not even called Balei Rabbanim. Yeah. Right, okay. But here it's even better than that, because when the Kotzen is selling his chometz, it's not Pesach yet. Kotzen is selling a pack of biscuits. An hour before Sof Zman, via chometz, he can sell a pack of biscuits, no problem. You cannot, the problem only comes later when Chatzos kicks in. So then the kin has been done already. So then definitely the kin is the one helps for the writer, because the kin is the one who's done already, done deal. Now I have no problem. So without that, that's a problem. So the cotton could really sell, and it could help me not as well. I have another problem here. My problem is that we said metalton can sell, kafi can't sell. The way chometz is sold, how can I buy metalton, which is not in my possession? Metalton, as I said, if you want to sell metalton, take it from the rishus of the previous owner, take it to your rishus. Otherwise, you have a big problem. I buy a warehouse, I give you the cash for a warehouse full of wheat. The next day he says to me, when I come to pick it up, oh, last night was a big fire, I'm sorry, all your wheat got burnt. It was mine, I paid for it. So I said, if you want to buy a metalton, you have to take it to your shush. Make a kin, take it. Catch him, not coin. Now, how can I buy chometz and you're selling me the chometz? So you give me the chometz, the power to sell it to the goy. It's not my shush, I didn't take the metalton. How can I sell the metalton? The only way to do it is, the one way to do it is, I rent out the place in your property which where the chometz lies, and agav karka, I'm buying your chometz. Now, a cotton can't do this kin agav karka. A cotton, Chazal gave him the rishus to sell metalton. But how on earth? If the cotton gives me the pack of biscuits, I can sell it to the goy and buy a back and go after Pesach. No problem. The cotton's not doing that. He's got a chometz in his locker. He wants to sell me his karka. He wants to rent out the locker. How can I do that? How can I buy? How can I rent? He has no power, even with the bonon, to sell his chometz. No, the goy pays for it, puts a down payment, he buys it, and you buy it back. It's a proper sale. But the cotton I can't acquire this chometz. It's not a deal which didn't go through. The deal went through, and now I'm buying it back. The way it's done is it gives down payments, he can't pay back, so he buys it back. But the deal's a deal. The question is, I can't get hold of this chometz to the cop because I haven't got the powers, not with the writer and not with the rabbonim, to get hold of this chometz. So there are two ways of getting around that problem. One is mitzad zuchan odim shleib b'fonov. Zuchan odim shleib b'fonov means I can give you a gift without you knowing about it. It's a schus for you. The same way applies to zuchan me'olam. If it's a schus for you that I should sell your chometz, then I have the power to sell the chometz because it's a schus for you. So the adult could sell the cotton chometz. You know, the cotton can't sell himself. It's as if you're giving a present to a cotton. Since selling the chometz is a schus for him, let's say it's a schus for him, then I could sell his chometz. If it's chiz mitam shlichus, then again, a cotton does a mishlich. You're right. But the hint with the marking of passing is chiz not mitam shlichus, so you could be zoichus for a cotton, and you could be zoichus from a cotton if it's a schus for him. You can't take something away from him, because usually if I take something from you, it's a chov. Here in this case, when I take something away from you, it's a schus. Now, I'll give you a quick example, if you don't, you know, example situation. If you have challah, says in a challah paskin, if you have, you made the dough, and you went away, you forgot, the dough is going to go off. So I can now be mafesh trum on your behalf, mafesh challah, without you knowing about it, taking away challah from you, it's yours, privately owned, in order that you should be able to use this Issa. So it's zochen me'odom shleib b'fonov. I can do something on your behalf which is toivah for you, even if it's taking away something from you, right? I've taken away a piece of something which belongs to you, gave it to the Kohen to say, to help you. So it's a similar case here. I'm taking somebody from Kohen to help him. So it's a zuch and odin shel Kohen. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it would be to do a kinyan suda, a kinyan chalipim. That means metalton, like I said, you have to take it from the Rishus of the Kohen. Another way of buying metalton is when you exchange something, the barter system. You exchange some of the Kohen. So I'll give some to the Kohen. Kohen will give, then give me. But when I give something of mine to the Kohen, then I acquire the ownership of the chomet which lies in the boy's locker in the school, which he can't give in any other way. There's the two ways, either zochen may odam shlebi funam, take it away as a source for him, and also there's another way of kinin soda, kinin chalipin, which does work from a talkin. And just to finish off with one. Forgot, there's a chomet shlebi, you have to burn it. Forgot, nothing can do about it. Forgot, you have to burn it. He didn't forget, he's trying to sell it. I wanted to help him get hold of his homage, which I can't technically get hold of. Now, just to finish off with one interesting, which has to do a little bit with this. Today is the Yuletide, one of the biggest Goini Yisrael we had, the Goon of Plotka Goon, a Polish Goinim, which he wrote for him in the whole Mitzvahs of Torah. Probably wrote for him. One of his most famous ones. He had many Talmud, the famous one, Chidushim was a Talmud of his. Now, I just read up his biography. The Chidushim was a Talmud of the Plotzke Gaon. He lies in Varsha. And the Sfasemnes was named Yehuda Arilev after the Chidushim's Rebbe Benigle. It's a big Chidush, had many great Rebbe Chidushim. And he gave his Einik Sfasemnes a name after the Plotzke Gaon. The Plotzke Gaon is an interesting Shalom. In his Sefer, he writes actually on his Mateva, whoever will print his Sefer, he'll Mamrit Tovrim. From Yana Velton. He said before his tea of the Shabbat, so Mateva, one of the Talmudim asked him, Rebbe, are you really sincere what you're saying? So he said, a soicher doesn't put something in the window if he hasn't got anything to sell. If I'm saying anything, I'm backing what I'm saying. That's what it says on the Mateva. Akapunim, his safety is always Mlamatus on trying to help out even the problems. He says, Shalom, which has some Shaykh to ask. You have fine chomet on paper, super chomet, you have a shala. This is one that's much more common when people made their own flour, had their own small, didn't buy anything commercially in the shops, everything in the Hakshala, Pesach. They had found a shala on Pesach, which is a shala in the kitchen, is it chomet or not? So, question is, are you allowed to wait to ask the Moyer Ruah? And somebody says the Moyer Ruah himself doesn't know. So, it's a complex shala. And you wait, and sometimes you have to wait, a kleiner staple, you have to wait, you ask, you send a shala to a Ruah in a different town. The answer comes back after Pesach. It's a sort of good answer. You're chomet in your house. How are you allowed to wait to get your answer? Maybe a few hours. Chomet, you're mash, I'm an apple of hour, you're keeping it in order to burn it. But just to keep it in the suffix, what's the heter to keep it in the suffix? That's the minute. That's people wait for the children to come back and hopefully it'll be good one. It's a sort of good answer. You have to burn it. He says an interesting thing. He says, Baltashkas ocha is a deraisa. And Baltashkas, if you mash something in a Torah, no, you could get Malkus in it. Oibazoi, better to be over Baltashkis, better over the issue of keeping Chomet Pesach, the Shev Altaser, than over Sofak Baltashkis, Mekum Vase. So it's not always right to sell, to burn it if you don't know for sure. Baltashkis Ochel Av the Reiser. Also, Chomet is not as Chomet Pesach. But it's better to be over the Shev Altaser rather than over Mekum Vase Baltashkis to burn it when you might not need to.
עולם שלם של תוכן מחכה לך בכל הלשון 03-617-1111